the Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You can put it on the board.
Woo!
What's up, everybody? Brandon Warren here for, another Midwest Swing podcast and Periscope. I'm going to double down on both of those. Hopefully, I can't tell if it's really good quality tonight, so I apologize if it's not, but getting at it a little bit late tonight because I had softball, so I'm looking a little bit shabby as well. So I apologize for not looking my absolute best. Kind of catching up on the Twins game. Looked like Hector Santiago was so-so in his return with the Twins. Obviously, a lot going on in his personal life as far as his grandma passing away and him being away from the team for the last 4 or 5 days. So, good to see him back with the Twins. Good to see the Twins getting off to another great start with Kenny Vargas driving in 5 runs for the Twins tonight. Starting to look like he could probably carve his way into regular playing time. It's going to be difficult, though. I think Paul Molitor said after the game, I'm kind of monitoring Twitter here, that they still like the work that Grossman's doing, and obviously he's getting on base. He leads the major leagues in walk rate. So it's going to be difficult for Grossman to cede time, and I think the unusual thing, or the difficult thing, perhaps, with Vargas coming up is that Mauer's starting to swing a little better as well, which might make it tougher to take him out of the lineup, too. So if you're going to get Vargas in there at either DH or first, might mean you need to sit down Eddie Rosario, who's swinging well. Might mean you need to sit down Max Kepler, who's probably one of your 2 or 3 best hitters in the entire lineup. So it's going to be hard for Molitor to mix and match here moving forward. I know they do have Jarrell Cotton going tomorrow for the A's. Really good changeup, good young pitcher. This is his first big league experience this season. So I think that, it's going to be a fun game tomorrow. A couple things to keep in mind, guys. First of all, check out zonecoverage.com/Amazon for all your Amazon shopping needs. Zone Coverage gets a kickback from that. You get nothing different about your Amazon shopping experience. So if you use Amazon Prime, Amazon Pantry, any of Amazon's great services, nothing changes for you. That's zonecoverage.com/Amazon. I've had a few people reach out with kind words about not only the daily podcast, which I appreciate, but also kind words about the baby. Little baby Harper is due a week from tonight, so things might get a little dicey and a little bit uneven here for a bit as we acclimate to our first child being born. So appreciate any consideration, any thoughts, any prayers that you guys send our way. Very excited, very nervous. Maybe not as nervous as we maybe would be if we weren't over the age of 30 welcoming our first kid. But we're pretty charged up. So thank you for all your kind words. People have been reaching out, Twitter, Facebook, in person, and really do appreciate that for sure. Anyway, back to the Twins. Yeah, so it kind of catching up on it. And so if what I say doesn't jive with what you saw, please feel free to say so in the chat. Similarly, what I do prefer is if you send things to my Twitter, @Brandon_Warren, first of all, I suspect that you're following me on Twitter because you're on the chat here, you're listening to my podcast and all that fun stuff. So send me questions there and we can chit-chat about whatever you want. On the Periscope chat, the issue is that those questions disappear after about 3 or 4 or 5 seconds. And so I don't necessarily remember all of them. And I know I have one here that I got to get to. So yeah, if you tweet me questions, I do have TweetDeck up on one of my monitors here so I can get to as many of them as possible. The first question we got was from Jake Kaufman, or I know him better as Ike, the producer of the old show that I did on 96.3, said, when is Jose Berríos coming up? And I think the answer to that is not as soon as we all might hope. It sounds like, and I wasn't at the park tonight because I had softball, and so Tom was at the park, if Follow him at tschreier3 on Twitter. So I don't have any update on if they're any closer to making a decision. I suspect they're not. But I get the sense that Nick Tepish is the most likely to make that start on Saturday. I think that Adalberto Mejia is in the discussion. I wouldn't be shocked if Tyler Duffy's in that discussion, but I really don't think Jose Barrios is. And I think he should be, but I do think that there is probably something beyond surface level that he needs to do to prove to Falvey, to Levine, that he had to come up. Because they do want this to not be a yo-yo situation. They want it to be a one-and-done. Call him up, hit the ground running, and he's ready to be, if not your number five starter, your number three or four. At least in terms of quality. Maybe not in terms of how everything lines up, but in terms of how well he pitches. And, you know, that even that window right now is open in terms of who's going to be the guy behind Irvin Santana, Hector Santiago. Both of those guys pitching to very good ERAs to start the season. Unsustainably good, if we're being perfectly honest. But if Jose Barrios hits the ground running, there's no reason why he can't be the number three with Phil Hughes and Kyle Gibson jockeying for number four and number five. It's not an ideal situation, but it's the best of what they've got. And right now they're, I believe, in first place or percentage points in first place in the American League Central. Again, it's May 3rd? I don't even know what day it is. Yeah, May 3rd. Almost May 4th. It'll be May 4th in about a half hour. So it's not, they say you can lose the division in April or May. You can't really win it, and I think I believe that. There was a year the Indians started, I want to say, like 12-3 back in like 2002 or something like that, and ended up not winning the division. You know, you can obviously start off hot and then kind of sustain it, like the Twins did in 2015. I believe they went 20-7 in May, and then were under 500 or at 500 the rest of the season and every month, but finished with 83 wins. So, I mean, every foot forward that the Twins put, every game that they play moving forward where they are continuing to make progress, continuing to look competent. Tonight, 6 walks again. I mean, the approach of these Twins right now, 9 hits, 4 of them going for extra bases. You know, you have to be enthused about where this offense is headed as opposed to where they've been, which was taking walks. They were second in fewest strikeouts, second in raw walks, number one in walk rate in the American League coming into today. There are a lot of good things going on in this offense, even if the results have been slow to come. Although, obviously, you know, last 2 nights, 6 home runs last night and 4 extra base hits tonight. Looked like they jumped Kendall Graveman from the get-go. obviously, Kenny Vargas had his number with 5 of the 6 earned runs coming off his bat. Mauer starting to take better plate appearances. Byron Buxton with a triple. I heard it was a stand-up triple, which is incredible, but really speaks to the amount of speed that he has and what he's capable of when he puts the ball in play, which has been obviously more frequently than it was at the start of the season. Been impressed with Eddie Rosario of late. I don't know if he's up to 13 or 14 game inning streak, but obviously doing a better job getting putting the ball in. And the numbers are showing. He's hitting .292 out of the 8 hole, which he'll take any day. Neil Kendrick on Twitter just said, "You're never going to catch the fly ball in the sun like that, Brandon." No, dude, here's what you don't understand, Neil. I got the sunglasses. I'm good. I played a 9:30 softball game with the sunglasses on my head. I think that's kind of a douchey move, but I do what I do. Thank you for checking us out, Neil. Matt Liefeld says that he thinks Miggy Smalls is catching on Twitter. I hope so. That's the hashtag I use any time Miguel Sano does something big, assuming I'm at the game or watching the game, which is more often than not, but wasn't tonight. Yeah, hashtag Miggy Smalls. Tell your friends. We'll see what happens. I've really enjoyed Miguel Sano's personality in the clubhouse. Very, very good demeanor, very jovial, which I think was always going to be the case, but it helps that he's playing well. But every time you ask him about the home run, about a great defensive play, he says he does it for his team, or it's for the team. But it feels genuine. You could have a guy who just says that to get people off his back or to look like a leader, you know, to give the illusion of a leader, so to speak. But I really do think, and I think he's 23 or going to be 23 very soon or whatever, I do think he takes his role as a future leader on this team very seriously. And it's, you know, it's really refreshing. And I think beyond that, I think that the players are responding to it well. Because I think it could rub some veterans, excuse me, the wrong way to have a young upstart guy try to kind of throw their weight around. I'm not feeling great tonight. To have a guy throw their weight around and not be well received by veterans in the clubhouse. But I think the fact that he's also leading on the field statistically certainly bolsters his case for leadership ability. And I think that makes it a better clubhouse vibe. I think he is the guy in the thick of things. You know, maybe not necessarily Torrey Hunter in the room, but he's got that kind of a ceiling. So, again, if you have questions, comments, or whatever, send them to me on Twitter at Brandon_Warren. That's going to be the best place for me to see them. Feel free to post things on the Periscope chat if you want as well. If I see them, I'll get to them. If I don't, just keep sending them. David on Twitter at Erics21069. Nice. Says, great job getting good pitching the last couple years with Santana and Santiago. Interesting thing about Santiago, I mean, I'm watching the Mariners-Angels game here as it's wrapping up, and it looks like probably a so-so outing from Ricky Nolasco tonight. It's kind of uncanny that the Twins got a guy like Hector Santiago who outpitches his FIP, ex-FIP, all those peripherals every year, while Nolasco does the opposite. And I think I'd prefer Santiago to Nolasco any day. It helps that he's left-handed, I think, as well. Just to give a different look. But I think he pitches like, I've said this on a couple different platforms, I feel like he pitches like a 35-year-old veteran pitcher. Up in the strike zone, but has enough juice to get it past guys. And the screwball, nobody throws a screwball anymore, for crying out loud. You got to go back to the days of Teddy Higuera with the Milwaukee Brewers to see a screwball. And then, you know, he's got good fade on that, throws a good changeup, and just does a lot of things that I think are counterintuitive. He's always a guy who's just ahead of the curve. He's not afraid of what might happen if he leaves the fastball up. I don't know enough about spin rate stuff, but I suspect he's got a fairly good spin rate on his fastball such that he can live up in the zone with a 90 to 92 mile per hour fastball. As high as 93 at times, but really, I think his average is about 90.9, 91.2. You know, not the kind of guy that's going to make you forget about some of the flamethrowers of the past. So it's remarkable what he's been able to do, and you know, whether that means he's in the Twin Cities for the duration, free agent at the end of the year, of course, if there's any chance he'd come back. We did talk about that with Mike Berardino on the podcast on Tuesday, so be sure to go back and listen to that. But, you know, he's done a really nice job. He's a really good clubhouse influence. I think the guys really like him, and I don't know, I just, Hector Santiago is starting to grow on me, and I'm surprised by that as anybody else. I thought he'd be decent, but, you know, nothing to write home about. He's really been interesting to start the season. Doubles wants to know, has Castro, the former Astro, I like the phrasing there, helped the pitching staff significantly? He's a damn good defensive catcher. Yeah, I think he has. I mean, he's only hitting 194, but I think the net effect of him on the Twins team has been positive. And I don't know that there are any statistics that would substantiate, you know, war would tell you one thing, but there are certain aspects of the game that maybe slip under the radar as far as advanced statistics are concerned. I do think he's been a positive addition and will justify his contract and then some when the dust settles on that deal. And, you know, I think you might flip him and Rosario in the order before too long. But he gives you a little thunder and does a nice job. Doubles also adding, Castro made a couple huge blocks on pitches in the dirt in the ninth. Yeah, I kind of had to piece it together through game logs, but it looked like Kinsler was a little dicey in the ninth. And, you know, his peripheral statistics are not pretty. A lot of walks, not very many strikeouts. But got the ground ball double play, which is kind of his bread and butter to get out of the game, as his old friend Trevor Plouffe ended the game on a double play ball. But, yeah, so huge because they kept the double play in order, and that's how Plouffe ended the game. Doubles chiming in here on Periscope. Appreciate that a lot. Yeah, you know, Kinsler's always going to have the chance to get that double play and end the inning, you know, just like that. The trouble is you don't want him putting himself into those situations because he doesn't have the strikeout stuff to work out of jams as much as well. So double play ball is nice, but, you know, not every night is he going to have a four-run cushion like he did tonight where, you know, one run sneaking in is not that big of a deal, but, you know, in this case, it was fine, but if it was a one-run game or a two-run game, you know, you're a little more white-knuckled in the ninth inning than you'd prefer to be, which is it's a thing that can happen. Matt Liefeld wants to know what I make of the Orioles and Red Sox feud going on. I think Chris Sale should have been thrown out of that game right away last night. I haven't exactly followed where it all started. I feel like it was a Machado slide. And there's been bad blood with Machado, I think, with the Red Sox for quite a while, dating back a couple years. But I don't know. I mean, I just think I don't hate that baseball has unwritten rules. And I know that that's not a popular phrase right now or not a popular thing to say. I do like that baseball stuff is a little more than just surface level. You know, that you knowing the game can put you on a different level than other people. But I don't like when it's arbitrarily, I don't like it when it's arbitrarily handed out in situations where it's beneficial for one player to say that an unwritten rule is being levied when it might not be for another. I think if it's not going to be consistent, I don't like it. And I don't like throwing at guys as a general practice. I get why it happens. I think it's cowardly if you miss. There's just in general, I don't like it because there's just so many things that can go wrong when you throw a hard baseball, 90 some miles per hour, with very little room for error. Again, these guys are the best at what they do in the entire world. But also, weird things happen. I mean, Tony Conigliaro got hit in the face, and it was just a thing that happened and ended his career, basically. It basically ended his life. And so, again, you know, pre-helmet era, which is totally different. I'm just saying, though, I don't like beanball wars. I thought the Twins-Tigers one was dumb. Incidentally, I hope Miguel Sano skates away from punishment, but I also do think that it might make sense for him to drop his appeal. If he doesn't think he's going to win, he could drop it tomorrow, sit against the A's, and then be rip-roaring ready to go for the weekend set against the Red Sox. Obviously, a little bit more difficult games. You prefer to have the middle of your order locked down against the likes of Chris Sale, Rick Porcello, and on Friday night, I think it's Eduardo Rodriguez and Phil Hughes going. So, I'm sure they have some sort of plan. And you know, who knows? Maybe Sano won't be in the lineup tomorrow if they don't think he's got a good chance of winning his appeal. Let me get through a couple more questions here before we close it out. Matt wants to know, did you expect the Twins to go on this tear of late, six of their last seven? No, I mean, I've been a believer of this team basically all off season. I mean, in January, I wrote that this was an 80-win team. I think I'm not looking for credit for it, but I do think I got out in front of anyone who thought this could be a decent team. I was before the prospectus projection of 80 wins and the Fangraphs, Zips, all that stuff. So, you know, I hope it reflects positively on my analysis that I saw that this could happen. With that said, I don't know. I mean, they're going to ebb and flow because young talent will go through stretches where it's piping hot like Sano is right now. You know, even in a night where he doesn't really do that much, two strikeouts, still gets on base twice and sees 25 pitches. Ryan Dozier saw 27 pitches. The top four hitters all saw 20-plus pitches tonight. That's how you get Kendall Graveman to 94 pitches with just 10 outs recorded. So obviously a very good job by the Twins to work the count tonight. All right, the last thing we're going to address before we get the heck out of here is Nick Moen, one of the most dedicated listeners to this podcast. Oh, yeah, Doubles saying, good to see Sano not pulled for a defensive sub in the late innings. Yes, yes. Sano has been very, very good defensively. And I've been very, very, I don't want to say proud, but impressed by how Sano has played at third base. Anyway, back to Nick's question. Besides Buxton finding his form much on his own, which coach do you think has had the most impact on him? James Rowson, 100%. I think he's had Torrey Hunter in his ear. I think he's had Paul Molitor in his ear. I think he works with Gene Glynn. I think he works with a lot of other guys. But James Rowson and him, and they keep going back to Sunday on the field, that batting practice. But I saw them working, and I reported early on the last homestand that they were working on, you know, going back up the box and all that stuff. Again, I'm not asking for credit for it. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying it's kind of funny that they go back to Sunday when I feel like it was even before that that they were working on some things that have obviously taken hold. You know, he's still 42 points under the Mendoza line for average, and so he's got a little ways to go and all that stuff. But it's very clear he's obviously turned a corner offensively, and I think you got to give James Rowson a lot of credit. Rowson to Miguel Sano, besides giving credit to Fernando Tatis in the offseason, they're working on some stuff. James Rowson, he talks about how they work all the time. And Miguel Sano out early for defense today. He's talking the talk and he's walking the walk. You are looking at, I'm going to end with this, you are looking at a legit major league superstar in the making in Miguel Sano. If he's putting in the work like he is with the amount of raw talent that he has, he will be a difference maker on both sides of the baseball. Not just an average defensive third baseman, but a better than average defensive third baseman. He's not great lateral movement, but he's got the arm and I think he's got the instincts. I'm excited to see what he's got left. All right, that's all I got for you. We will have one of these tomorrow night. I got the noon game, got a couple things to do with the family, but we'll do another one of these late tomorrow night. So set your watches, maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock. You've been listening to and watching the Midwest Swing Podcast, part of the Cold Omaha Podcast Network. Peace.